Proverbs chapter 5. And we continue to work our way through this wonderful, instructive, helpful, and practical book for our lives. Though our exposition this morning is verses 1 through 6, I'm going to read on to verse 14 so we can kind of get the context all together. Follow along as I read. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion, and your lips may keep knowledge. For the lip of an immoral woman drips honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as the two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her sept lay hold of hell. Let you ponder her path of life, her ways are unstable. You do not know them. Therefore, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house. Let you give your honor to others and your ear to the cruel one. Let alien be filled with your wealth and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. And you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed and say, how I have hated instruction and my heart despised correction. Have not obeyed the voice of my teacher, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation. Let's pray. Father, be with us. Lord, as we come to a very touchy but very potent lesson for us, we live in a world that's been so overly sexualized. We have, in our culture and our society, have ordained and accept and made laws that are a direct opposition to your Ten Commandments, direct opposition to your very character and for the very purpose for which you have given to mankind your gift of sexuality. Father, as we look at this book and we realize that it is a book to teach and guide us and to help us to seek wisdom. And Lord, within this book teaches us the many things that are stumbling block to that path. Here is one of the most pertinent ones, the one that probably derailed more than any other. Father, give us ears to hear. Help it to do exactly what the opening verse says. To pay attention. To incline and lend our ears to the truth. May our heart and mind relegate and control our emotions, our passions, our feelings. So many people have been given over to this sin and have paid a lifelong price for it. And many of them don't even realize it, or in absolute denial. Father, let us not be like the world. You have taught us. You are teaching us. You have established your standard and your built into your universe, the moral law. Help us to, if we want a life of blessedness, that we need to follow your way, your purpose, and your design for everything you have ever given us to enjoy, but not to go outside of your design purpose for your honor and your glory and our good. We ask that you be with us tonight, today, in Jesus' name. Amen. I have entitled this message simply "The Warning Against the Immoral Woman," mainly because that is the what the verse said, but by no means that it just talk about women being the seductive one. We know in our culture that men are just as profound and skilled in the art of seduction as women are. And women are just as prone to yield to sexual passions outside of God's design as men are. So when you hear the idea, the whole context is this: Solomon speaking to his son. So obviously it's going to be, you know, son, beware of the woman who does this. But it's also true in reverse. Ladies, girls, be careful what let man or boy do this to you as well. As we begin the fifth chapter, which contains the warnings and instructions concerning one's sexual life. In verses 1 through 6, it's going to warn us of the seduction of the opposite sex. Verses 7 through 14 provide motivation for staying away from the disastrous effect of sexual sin. And in verses 15 to 23, we're going to see the wisdom for rich sexual enjoyment within the bonds of marriage. We have already been warned so far to beware of sexual temptations in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 16 through 19. And again, we will hear in more detail in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 24 through 35, and all of Proverbs chapter 7. So to begin with, we have in verses 1 and 2 here the exhortation to discretion, to discernment. Look at the verse 1 with me. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion and that your lips may keep knowledge. Here we hear the familiar call of my son that we have already heard so far up to this point 10 different times. It is the call to give heed to wisdom and understanding. While in the next verse, it adds the word discretion and knowledge. These are usual words for the call to a life of insight and discernment. The exhortation here to open up this section, this chapter, regarding sexual sins and the right and wrong use of it, the idea here, the exhortation is to listen and to heed. And then it becomes more precise in detail and specific in verses 3 through 6, what he's talking about. What I love about Solomon, and he time and time again, and he's given parent instruction. Sometimes we get pretty mundane when we try to teach and train our children, or even as a teacher try to teach a disciple. When there are some urgent principles and lessons that need to be learned, we need to preface it by saying, you need to really listen to me what I'm about to say. I'm going to say something very important. Don't dismiss it as ho-hum. This is life-changing whether you embrace it or not, or learn and forget. So, we see here the exhortation. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding. And another thing that I want to stress to parents and any teacher or anybody who's discipling a young Christian is we need to be proactive and intentional in our teaching. And let's deal with issues that matter, not on the peripheral, not on the secondary, but vital and critical. A young person or any person messed up on this subject, it had not only consequences in his life, but spiritual and eternal consequences. Because the Bible says so. Now, you may feel like those consequences are not going to affect you. I don't see how they will, but God's word is more true than your perception of what's going to happen. So what we have here is the call to wisdom. We've heard that word many times already. The word wisdom, by definition, is skillful living. It's living all of life for the glory of God. Wisdom is to apply the best knowledge in every area according to the will of God for God's glory towards a blessed life. When it comes to sexuality, you can violate what God commands and you're going to pay the price. Or you can obey God and get the rich blessedness that comes from following God's way, wisdom's way, the will of God. Not only did he call and exhort them to pay attention to wisdom, But he said, lend ear to understanding. It's not enough to simply know, but you need to understand. The word understanding here is the idea of the word insight, to have discernment, to distinguish things that differ. You can have something like this, but a person of discernment can tell there are two different things there to make a distinction so they can make proper and right decisions and choices. Why are they to do this? Verse 2. That you may preserve discretion. The word preserve means to keep it, to guard it, to observe, take heed, or to retain it. One commentator said it this way, quote, "This described wisdom as ability to protect its possessor from the harm brought on by foolishly proceeding with an ill-advised plan." When you understand wisdom and you understand understanding and have insight and discernment, it will preserve you. It will give you at the moment of choices and decisions, you'll make the right one because you have been given and been seeking and praying and longing for wisdom and insight. It is important that it's like one of the questions we had in our adult Sunday school hour. We talked about holiness, and one of the very important questions answered was the fact that we need to understand that every time we come to a temptation, we need to make the right decision at that time. And the right decision at every temptation is to resist it. It's to say no to it. It's to say no to sin and yes to righteousness. That's exactly what the discretion. It preserved our discretion. It preserved our state of mind and focus on the path I should take when maybe hormones are raging and passions are raging and emotions are raging and you have all the desire to do what you shouldn't do. When you pray and cry out and long for wisdom and insight and discernment, it will preserve you at that point. That's why you pray ahead of time. You don't count on doing the right thing by sheer willpower at the moment. Flesh fails at weak moments. You cannot count on your sheer willpower. You must lean on His wisdom and power for Him to help us. The word knowledge here and found in verse 2, it said, and your lips may keep knowledge. It is the idea of knowledge, not simply data and information, but a deep, intimate knowledge of something or someone. You need to be fully aware of this subject. You need to be fully aware of God's place and purpose of human sexuality to be. It has its rightful place, and it needs to stay in its rightful place with inside of a marriage of a man and a woman inside marriage. Any sexual act outside of that is wrong, is sinful, and will be dealt with. Bible is explicitly clear on that. Whether you commit fornication, having sex with non-married people and two people non-married having it, or you have sex with a married person, whether one or the other or both of them are married to some other person, that's adultery. God seemed to have a stronger thing against adultery than fornication, but both of them are equally sinful in His eyes. And the reason why He had such a strong view of adultery is because sexual sins of adultery are marriage records. And God said, what I have put together, let not man break apart, separate. And sometimes many relationship marriages had been destroyed because of giving in at the weak moment when wisdom said, don't go there. We live in a world that promotes it, flaunts it, and constantly paints it with none of its consequences. And as a pastor, I have spent almost 40 years dealing with the aftermath of people violating this command. You go do it freely and of your own choosing, and you have a relationship with somebody else, It devastates them. But the fact still remained God's design and purpose, and the gift of it would be for a man and a woman, husband and a wife, inside marriage, to enjoy, to strengthen their bond while everybody else is trying to attack it. So that knowledge of the deep, intimate knowledge of something. The idea here, I love how he said that, noted verse 2, that you may preserve discretion. I already explained that. And your lips may keep knowledge. In other words, you're talking to yourself about the truth of God's word and the will of God regarding this. I know I shouldn't do this. I know I shouldn't go there. I know I need to refrain. When you talk to yourself, using his knowledge, his will, his wisdom, it will sustain you and help you. The idea of the lips may keep you. The idea to protect oneself by talking and speaking to oneself the truth and following the will of God, which is nothing more than another way of saying following wisdom. That helped guard and keep it from sin and those who would tempt us. In this context, to heed the path of wisdom instead of being overwhelmed with temporary hormonal rush. Charles Bridget, the great commentator of Proverbs in the 1800s, said this, quote, man's own strength, the restraint of education or self-discipline, is powerless. Engrafted wisdom is the only effectual safeguard. There's only one thing that will protect you, and that is when wisdom is entered into your heart, Proverbs chapter 2, and it is a delight to your soul where you govern and guide your life by it. That is your only safeguard. So he's asking them to be aware, to be careful. Now we come to point number 2, which I believe is the most important thing of this particular passage, verse 3. For the lips of the immoral woman or man drip honey, and her or his mouth is smoother than oil. When you look up the word immoral woman, it had been translated various words. It had been translated the word stranger, foreigner, alien, adulteress, prostitute, harlot. In essence, it's basically saying it is a person or anyone who is not the spouse of another. So when you are with this immoral person who is not your spouse, you can obviously tell by that, by the word immoral. The word stranger here, I like what John Kitchen said here. A lot of times people want to use the stranger that all Solomon's talking about is people who are non-Israelite. That is not what he's teaching. And I like what John Kitchen would say in here. He said a stranger, the definition of stranger, and the reason why he say that is the word immoral woman was translated the word stranger elsewhere in the Old Testament. As well as elsewhere as an alien, an outsider. But in the context, he said this, quote, stranger is metaphorical here. It's metaphorical here. In the sense that because she is outside of the marriage covenant with you, she is a stranger to you. You should not be going here with this person. She is a stranger to you. She is not your spouse. Therefore, she is therefore a stranger and alien to you in regard to having sex with. This verse addresses the most useful tool in her trade, seduction. She appealed to your eyes and to an ear to allure you to herself or himself. She seductively uses words that sound sweet, like the drip of honey here, and is delivered in a fashion that is smoother than oil. Boy, she knows how to say it exactly what you want to hear. Or he can tell you exactly what you want to hear. Oh, they know how to melt your heart with their word. But in the end, you need to pull back the curtain and realize as he unveils the true nature and purpose of this person's trying to seduce you. They just want a one-night stand. They just want to fulfill their sexual appetite of the moment. They have no concern for you. So her tool, her craft is all in her seduction. She tried to lure you. Seductively used the word honey. Notice in verse 3, for the lip of an immoral woman drips honey. It doesn't mean literally open your mouth and honey comes. But the idea that her speech is like one of absolute flattery, sweet but not truthful. The idea of honey, it referred to honey as this word that was specifically used as it dripped directly from the honeycomb just before it's broken up. At that point, it is honey at its best, and at that time in the days of antiquity, there was nothing sweeter than honey. Honey was the high standard for sweetness. Here lies why he's saying in verse 3, her lips are like this sweet honey. It's irresistible. The word oil here is used of olive oil. And it was said that well-pressed olive oil was the smoothest substance known to the ancient Hebrews. And so here, the content of her speech is sweet and alluring and attractive and seductive and trying to draw you and break down all of your resistance. And she does it in such a smooth, clever way. Get like oil, hard-pressed olive oil. Smooth. In fact, the word smoother, if you look at verse 3 at the end, and her mouth is smoother than oil. That word, smoother, would also translate the word flattery. Later on in Proverbs 26:28, a lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin. What is flattery but telling you what you want to hear, but not the truth? Exact same Hebrew word. So it is about her flattery. She's using her speech and lips to woo you to what she wants. Try to convince you you want it too. One commentator said it this way, with her words, she caresses your ego, and with her delivery of those words, she soothes and smoothes and softens every moral objection that may arise in opposition to her evil plan. Do not entertain her allurement even a moment, end quote. We have to pick up, this verse is so vital for all of us to understand, especially young people. You want to have engrafted wisdom within to fight this kind of battle. Flesh at the wrong time, at the wrong place, with the wrong person is not a good recipe. And you want everything going for you at the time. You want to be prayed up and asking God to be with you and give you strength and encouragement. And you, at the same time, you want God to give you the wisdom to make the right decision at the time. You shouldn't have had to been even in that situation. But you want all kinds of backup to get you through. But no matter what, though her sweetness just oozes out of her, she tried to woo you with her charms. But the sweetness and charm of the immoral person, flattery, will, listen carefully, turn bitter. It will. Always does. How do I know? God's word said, look at verse 4, point number 3. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Here it speak to the fact that, but in the end. The word end obviously means apple words or later. I like what Derek Kidner said in his commentary. He said this, quote, "Surely there is an end, and Proverbs does not allow us to forget it." Because it says it over and over and over. Stay away from this. If you do, here's what's going to happen. Stay away from this. If you do, this is what's going to happen in the end. Clearly, stay away from it. Proverbs 14, verse 12, we all know this verse. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Same exact word. It's the word end here in verse 4 is the one that I just quoted. In the end is the way of death. When the passing moment, the pleasure are gone, consequences linger and leave one wondering how they ever fell for the bait. The end does come. The consequences of going against God's design and purpose for sex will come back to bite you. It can come back and will always come back in a way of broken relationship. Being hollow inside, living for pleasure rather than for God. It could even go so far as God giving you a venereal disease. But at the end of the day, we need to understand there will be consequences for breaking God's law. Doesn't matter how many people do it. Doesn't matter how many people enjoy it. God said is evil to go outside of my purpose for it. Her smooth words of seduction in the end are bitter like wormwood and cut like a knife. The promised sweetness is soon replaced by that which is bitter as wormwood. The bitterness of wormwood is, the wormwood plant is legendary. Wormwood in the Bible had become a metaphor for sorrow, tragedy, and cruelty. In fact, John Kitchen said this, the plant would play between two woolen garments. In other words, you have a wool garment and a wool garment. They would always put the wormwood plant in between and weave it together. The reason is, he said that they were played between the woolen garment to ward off maggots and moth. It is so bitter that not even the lowest life form could tolerate it. It perfectly described the polar opposite of the drop of honey. She promises honey, but she's giving you wormwood. And likewise, the smooth flattery gives way to the unavoidable wound of a two-edged sword. They found out later, swords used to be one edge, and after a while they began to realize that the two-edged sword can cut both ways. The idea here, the razor sharp two-edged sword. When it may be smooth, but it's going to cut like a razor both ways. The two-edged sword came to signify the sword with the razor sharp cutting edges. Kind of like what we learned in our previous study in Psalms 55, verse 21. The words of his mouth are smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, and yet they were drawn sword. In other words, what that person's mouth was saying was not what was in their heart. The same is true of this strange woman who you're not married to, who's not your spouse, or that man who you're not married to. I'll never forget, I've heard over the years, I would ask a Christian how they're doing, and a couple of them said some people say the most ludicrous things anyway. But in this case, this person, a couple different people, said, I'm doing fine except my sex life is bad. Well, first of all, that's kind of crude. Second of all, they're not even married. And I instantly turned around and said, you're not supposed to have a sex life. You're not married. That is not an option on the table for you. To do so is sin. You're wrong. And yet they were so flippant, like it was like, what a bummer. And I was supposed to be sympathetic towards it. Well, he got the opposite. Maybe Solomon had given these words because he learned from his own experience. Because he wrote some very insightful things in Ecclesiastes for us. And one such place is Ecclesiastes 7, verse 25 and 6. Listen carefully, and I'll show you where he fell down, where he fell. Now we know God came to him and said, ask whatever you want, and he asked for wisdom, which is the greatest thing he could have asked for. But let me read. Ecclesiastes 7, 25 and 6. I applied my heart to know, to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things. That's also good. Here's where he went wrong. To know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. In other words, it wasn't enough just to learn about the wisdom and understanding and discernment of holy things. He had to go and find out the nuances of wicked things, which we had it recorded. It's all recorded in Ecclesiastes. The next verse, he said this, I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are fettered. He who pleaded God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be trapped by her. Here he said, he who pleaded God. What is that but to live in a life of wisdom? Living in the fear of God. Living according to His word and His will, and living by faith, though I may not understand why, but God said He gave us this to use it for this purpose only. Therefore, I need to use it for this purpose only. Verse 5. Her feet go down to death, her step laid hold of hell. In this life, the consequences of immorality are bitter and sharp. The consequences, however, are not merely temporal. They are also spiritual and eternal. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 18 and 19. We already learned this. For her house leads down to death, and her path to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the path of life. Proverbs 7, 27. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. Proverbs 9, 18. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depth of hell. This is all referencing the immoral woman. Yielding to sexual sin. The sept of the sexual seducer leads people to death in the grave. And those who are taken in by her immorality and seduction. You might say, man, this is good, this is fun, and it is bitter in the end. It's amazing how many times people who have fell for these sins don't even realize the aftermath of their miserable life since then, and they wonder, I don't understand why this is. When you follow a certain pathology, it will lead to woes or blessedness. And God determines that. You don't get to shake your fist at God, do as you please, and live a blessed life without Him influencing it. It doesn't happen that way. And we as God's people should not look at people and assume that everything they okay on the surface. We learned that lesson from Psalm 37 and Psalm 73. Though they look outwardly good, the psalmist said, but it wasn't until I went into the temple then I understood their end. I understood at the end of their life it when they're going to pay their dues. I am not to worry about their prosperity, God. The best they'll ever have is now. My best is yet to come. My hope is in you. My joy is in you. But back to our subject here. Proverbs 6:32, later on in that very chapter, whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. And I've heard Christians, well, man, I've done this and I've done that, and I don't see my soul being destroyed. Well, I got one word for you. Grace. The only reason is grace. His amazing grace forgave you. And there's no doubt you don't get to be exempt from all of the consequences of sins in the past. And if you look carefully, you have issues in your life that are a direct result of those sins. Divorces, remarriages, unfaithfulness, infidelity. Proverbs 7:21-22. Listen to these words. Talking about the seduction of this woman. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter and as a fool to the correction of the stocks. How vivid is that? She is so sweet and so smooth. She forces you. And God said, you're just like an ox going to the slaughterhouse. If you've never been to a slaughterhouse, it's not a pretty sight for the ox. Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:6, but she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. The same is true of a man. If all you live for is pleasure, hedonism, just the satisfaction and affiliation of your senses, you have a very base life. And here it is all in reference to verse 5. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. Those that fall for her seduction never bother to look down the road to see what's coming. But a wise person does. A wise person knows ahead of time, not going there. I know where this is going. Not going there. I know things in me tempting me, but wisdom tells me no. Here lies the preservation of discretion in verse 2. But when you don't have that commendation, you don't seek and pray and ask God for wisdom in all areas of life and every situation that you may struggle into, fall into in the way of temptation, you need wisdom. And I like what Bridget said, engrafted wisdom, wisdom that has entered the heart. Though this immoral woman or immoral man may not comprehend the process they're in, with every step she takes into immorality and every step others take with her, she is drawing them closer and closer to death and the grave. And yet when you try to step back to ponder and wonder what's going on and try to understand the situation, look at verse 6. Let you ponder her path of life, her ways are unstable. You do not know them. You're trying to figure them out. The idea of her ways are unstable means she's shifty, she's restless and slippery. Weaves in and out, moves back and forth, so you cannot figure her end game. She's on the move. She wants what she wants, and she needs to keep you on your toes to get that. She has no direction in her life. She lived for the moment. She lived for the next pleasure. Wherever pleasure calls, she goes. Same way with men. This is the very opposite of what we learn in chapter 4 of Proverbs, of the straight path of God's wisdom. The unstable path is another way of saying her crooked path. She does not. People like this do not live by principle. They live by pleasure. That's why it's important to instill into your soul a hunger for wisdom and insight, knowledge and discernment, so you can get through life making the right choices and decisions for the glory of God and for your own good and well-being. Many years ago, I was a youth pastor in Moses Lake, and I had a lot of young people in my group, and I happened to have one young lady who was a really, fell in love with her because she was a hard case, and I had a lot of compassion for her. Her name was Karen. She was tough. Her mom and dad were as pagan and as godless as possible. One of my kids invited her to church, and she started coming, and she got saved, and God began to do a transformation in her life. I found out when she joined our youth group, she was about 16, that she had an abortion when she was 14. Urged and paid for by her parents. Here lied the type of parents she had. Tried to develop her and disciple her and strengthen her, get her in the Word, and she made good progress, and then she graduated and moved on. And then later one day, while I was working my job at the day custodian at the high school, she looked me up, and she said, good to see you, Brother Andy. I came to share some wonderful news and some sad news. The wonderful news is that I found a man who's a Christian that I absolutely love him. Love him. Like the man, I'm so happy for you. That is awesome. Went to date and so on and so forth. And I said, but what's the sad news? Because of my wild life and my abortion, I am sterile and I can't provide this man with a child. And the brokenness in her life and her heart at that moment, I will never forget as long as I live. Clearly a person who violated what we're talking about here. Who one day, by his grace, yes, God forgave her of everything, but consequences still happen. It's important that we understand that God's way is the best way. It's the only way. It's the way it was meant to be for all of us who are given our existence. And so we see here, when you face people like this, Proverbs 4:14-15 said, do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Proverbs chapter 1:10 said it this way, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Do not yield. Do not give in. Let God have his way. This path may give you a momentary sense of pleasure, but will in the end become bitter, devastating, and lead to death. There's no doubt about it. Sexual activity has pleasure to it, but we need to be a people that follows what Moses did. That was taught in Hebrews 11:25 that he rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy, listen carefully, the passing pleasures of sin. Sin at its best is passing, temporary, a moment, fleeting, then gone. And yet the Bible teaches in Galatians 5:19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, all dealing directly or indirectly with sexual sin. The first four in the list. Two verses later in verse 21, it said this, after he gets done with the list, he said, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Ephesians 5:5, for this you know that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Hebrews 13, verse 4, marriage is honorable among all and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Revelation 21, 8, one of the most powerful verses in all of Scripture that speak to the damnation of hell at the lake of fire. Revelation 21, 8, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderer, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, no liars shall have their part in the lake which burned with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, having shared those verses and discussed this subject, it does not make sexual sin worse than any other sin. It does not mean there's no way of repentance and restoration. Praise God there is in Christ. But all sins of the flesh are the fruit of an unregenerate nature and alienation from God. 1 Corinthians 6, write these down. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Pay attention to those words. Whenever you hear God saying, do not be deceived, He is warning you that if there's an area of self-deception, it's here. So perk up and listen. He said, neither fornicators, that is people who are sexually active outside of marriage, or idolaters, or adulterers, or homosexual, or sodomite, or thieves, or covetous, or drunkard, or reviler, or extortioner will inherit the kingdom of God. Yeah, I know, Pastor, you said that with a couple other passages. I just want you to know what God's word says. But let me give you the good news. The next verse, verse 11. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Here, the church at Corinth, Paul was saying, hey, don't be deceived. People who live this kind of lifestyle, who want to have their sin of choice and do it with impunity and think nothing of it, they're people who are unregenerate. They're lost. They're dead in their trespasses and sin. They're bound up in their sin. So they do what sinners do. Sin. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you. You were part of that list at one time. But you're no longer of that list because you were washed, sanctified, and justified by Jesus Christ. You almost can't go anywhere without there being a lion's share of the crowd, people guilty of this sin in one way or another, physically or even with your eyes. Praise God, we have hope and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. We have hope in the gospel that He forgives us of all sin. But He urges us, after we come to faith in Him, to live a life pleasing to Him. So I'll end with these verses that Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica, and the verses, the passage at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. Listen to these words. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to plead God. For you know that what commandment we gave you through the Lord Jesus Christ. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel. The word vessel means your own body. In sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarn you and testify. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but to holiness. I think it's appropriate, wise up and make sure we listen to God's way of on this subject. Listen to what God has to say. And if you're tempted to do it, let me warn you, it will be bitter and painful in the end. Let God have its way and bless you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the preaching and teaching of your word. We ask that you would bless it. Your word is true. It is the truth. It is reality. It's the facts. Thank you for being so clear and helping us to understand your mind on this subject. And I know this is not the first nor the last of this in this wonderful book. It just stresses the importance and the urgency and the devastation of it when we don't. Oh, Father, be with us. If there's anyone here that doesn't know Christ, maybe someone here who's guilty and is in the mess right now, oh God, may they come to you for forgiveness. We ask that you will break that bond of slavery to sin and sex and lust and things that make one seek pleasure more than you. Oh Lord, be with them. May they come to Jesus today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.